we're having a good old-fashioned picnic. And I learned some things because I've talked to some older ones. Tell me about the good old days. And I've talked to them. And I've learned that, there's a little irony in what we're doing. We're going out of the building to have a picnic. And it's going to be fun. Years ago, when churches had tent meetings and even picnics as well, they would have tent meetings in the evening. And in the summertime, it would be so hot, there was no AC in the building. And that's why they would have tent meetings. And they would provide cover for shade, and the sides would be open for breeze. And so it was more necessary, and it was something that was better to be outside where it would be cool so that they could meet. And just a little irony that we want to have an old-fashioned picnic, but it's nice indoors now with AC. But we're still going to do it because it's a lot of fun. And we want to make memories. I've talked to some about, you know, memories of years ago. They would have those tent meetings when I was growing up, called gospel meetings, indoors. But go far enough back, tent meetings outdoors, and they would have those every night. Dad tells me morning and night, and they would go on. When I was growing up, we'd have a gospel meeting. When I was real young, we'd have it for a week. As I got older, for, you know, about 4 days. But they would do those tent meetings for 2 weeks. And if things are going well, even beyond that. And so those are great memories of things that would happen in years past. Some remember, you know, thinking back, they remember fire and brimstone sermons. They remember the preacher giving the five steps to salvation at the end of every sermon. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Remember people wearing suits and dresses, going, you know, with grandparents after church to eat as a tradition, and memories of ice cream and watermelon socials. We're going to have watermelon today. I wanted to just click through a few pictures to jog some memories. Young people, this is a radio. This has been colored up. A photograph wouldn't look like that, but that predates television. They would gather around the radio and hear shows, and then this thing, that odd-looking thing that they're staring at, that's a television. And black and white, of course. And then, some of you know what this is. The original video game, right? Predates Nintendo and all that good stuff, Atari. Just called Pong, and it was awesome. I loved it. And then how about this one? That's a phone. The first phone game. First phone game. These are some pictures of just old times in the past, church buildings, churches gathering for socials. That's a lot of ice cream right there if you don't know what that is. That's a lot of ice cream. Pie eating contest. We're going to have one of those today. Hands behind your back, head down. Okay. We're going to have a three-legged race. We're going to have horseshoes. You could be the horseshoe champion and win an award. Now that goes back quite a ways there. Some old Norman Rockwell paintings of families praying. This is a picture of the church I grew up in, Shakota Church of Christ. Old shotgun auditorium. I have fond memories of Mom would tell us kids, you know, you can sit anywhere you want. You don't have to sit with Mom and Dad. Dad was the preacher. You don't have to sit with us in church. But you have to sit either, you know, the same pew or in front. You can't get behind us. Mom wouldn't trust me to sit behind as a teenager. I wonder why. And so, well, she would sit on the second pew from the front on the right side. And I would sit on the left side, second pew, with my friends. I have fond memories because that's where I learned how to become a Christian. That's where I was baptized. You know, the building doesn't mean anything, but it's connected to things that really mean a lot. Why do we cherish memories from the past? 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." We cherish church memories from the past because people were involved in helping us grow toward God and helping us learn about God. And those things are priceless. It's our eternal salvation is what we're talking about, and people who helped us get there. Paul talks about Timothy. He says, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And Paul, viewing Timothy as a son, and the same with Titus. He viewed them as family, and we are brothers and sisters, but we're also sons and parents and grandparents in the faith, aren't we? And those connections are really important. There are two things I want to leave us with today. Paul also referenced Timothy's mother and grandmother and how they led him to Christ and their faith was passed down. I want us to think about the value of other generations in our church family. In Romans 12, Paul talks about we are one body, but we have many members. And each member belongs to all the others. If you are under the age of 18, raise your hand. And I know we have a lot in Bible Hour. So we have a good number in Bible Hour this morning. If you are under the age of 30, raise your hand. Now we're going to get, in just a minute, things are getting a little more voluntary. But under the age of 30. Okay? Use your discretion. If you're under the age of 50. And then, If you're older, if you're in the older group, isn't that awesome? The golden group. Did you notice we don't have a group missing? And you need to know whatever group you're in, that's important because we all belong to each other. And God said you're different, but you're part of the same body. And you matter. Every part matters. Every group matters. And so I want to just talk to our groups in younger, middle, and older. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are a crown to the aged. And I want to speak to the younger group. To the teenagers, younger children, even early 20s. Young people, you energize us. Young people, we cherish you. You're priceless to us. We see youth in you and we see you growing up. It is a joy to watch young people grow up in the church, isn't it? One of the songs we're singing this morning, I hear Abby and others on our younger ones on our pew singing. When you hear a child singing in the service, it doesn't get much better than that. Young people, you're very, very important to us. Crying babies are precious in a church building. And do not forget that. Do not ever complain about someone's baby or child being... And we're human. I understand human nature. But we love crying babies here at church when the church is together. Younger children in Bible class, teachers, you are so privileged. In Bible class, younger children are wide-eyed learning about God. And it's wonderful. And to the teenagers, I want you to know that you are an example to the older ones. And you probably don't think about that, but look at this, 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul tells Timothy, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. For Zach to bring his friend Jace, and next thing you know, your friend wants to be a Christian like you. That is wonderful. And it's an example. And young people, we do not look at you as members of this family in training. We don't look at you as unimportant. We look at you as priceless, all the way from our teenagers on down to the youngest newborns. The older generation. Leviticus 19:32 says, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. We admire our elders, our older generation. We respect you. The old generation has class. And the middle generation, I think those my age, give or take 44. I was going to say 40, but I know somebody would correct me. You have class. I think the younger generation may be too far removed to easily see that. But I can see it, and it's not because you're old. You were that way when you were young. And many of us, we know that. We know that was a part of your generation, and many of us wish it was a part of our generation. We respect and we value the older ones in our church family so much. You are an example to us. You provide wisdom for us. And we thank you for leading us to where we now are. Because without you, we wouldn't be here. Keep leading us. Keep showing your example. And keep encouraging us. So the older ones, encourage us. Encourage the younger ones. Pat a kid on the back. Let them know you're glad they're here. Find a mom who has brought her children, a single mom, or brought them without dad, and encourage her, because you know that's not easy. To the middle generation, 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love." The middle generation is raising kids. Sometimes raising kids and helping parents at the same time, aging parents. I'm talking about a single mother bringing her children, or a single father, or just bringing them by themselves. Making sure that your kids are in Bible class or in Bible hour. You're the busiest of our church family with your work, with kids' activities. But in spite of all the busyness of life, you're so busy in the church. And to the middle generation, we thank you for how hard you work. And we know that Satan is pulling at you, trying to get you back in the world. And to your generation, to that group of our church family in the middle, thank you. Keep working. We notice. It doesn't go unnoticed. And you're very important to us. And to all of us, 1 Timothy 5:1 says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." We are a family. And we love each other. Lori Ingram, I talked to her earlier this week and got some memories from her. She talked about growing up young in a church that was small. And it was in Cisco, Texas. And she remembers the preacher and the few pews filled in that little wooden house. They were only occupied by aunts and uncles and cousins. So you had a church family with earthly family connections. And she says, "But oh, how beautiful it sounded when we would sing from our old school hymnal, and the voices echoed off the walls. My granny, who was born in 1910, would tell me that when she was young, they didn't have a church service every Sunday. That only happened when the preacher traveled through the area. Otherwise, her pa would read to them from the Bible by either candlelight or an oil lamp." Amazing how simple yet truly sincere life and church was 100 years ago. We are family. And it's important. And I also want us to think about the importance of passing down our faith. Having our children and grandchildren in Bible class, in Bible hour, in worship is important. There needs to be a word bigger than important. Okay? It's crucial. It's vital. If you were influenced spiritually by your grandparents in a positive way, just raise your hand for a minute. If you were influenced spiritually by your parents in a positive way, how important is it that we pass this on to the next generation? Look at Psalm 71:18. It says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation." Here's someone saying, "God, don't let me die till I can pass this on." And it's so important that we pass our faith on to our children. Psalm 78:5 says, He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Look at verse 6. So the next generation would know. It's important to have our children in Bible class. I want my daughters in Bible class because that's where they learn so much about God. They grow so much by being in Bible class. And I want to encourage you, I know it's easier sometimes to just bring them for worship, but realize for younger ones, the sermon is not, it's not geared for younger ones. The Bible hour is, but that goes up to second grade. We need our children in Bible class. We need our children in Bible class because we must pass on the faith to the next generation. We had some, I was getting memories of the good old days, and some of the old days are when I was an adult, so that tells me I'm getting old. But look at this. Can you tell who this is? Rebecca Foote. When I came here in 99, Becca was, she was in grade school, a little bit older than this. This is a little bit before I came. But she remembers the puppets that we had. In Bible Hour. It wasn't called Bible Hour then. But she, as a young kid, she loved the puppets. What we're doing today will be the memories in the future. What we're doing today will make a difference for our young people. R.W. Spencer, who's my uncle, remember, I want to read what he wrote. This is the old church building that he remembers growing up in. In the mid-1950s, I attended church as a child with my parents in a little farm community in western Oklahoma called Bulow. The only thing there was a little country store and a Church of Christ. I remember when it got hot in the summer, we would have church outside. There was a structure behind the church that was made of vertical poles with a tin roof on it. The sides were all open to allow wind and air circulation. I have fond memories sitting with my mom and dad on pews constructed of wood slats. I thought the dirt and sand floor was neat. At the evening service, they had yellow light bulbs strung under the structure, and it attracted a lot of bugs. So the preacher was always getting dive bombed because there was a light right above the podium. The crickets were in competition with the evening singing, but the closeness to our Creator was evident. We may think that our young people are not paying attention in class. I confess, I remember a time when, as a junior high age, our Bible class teacher, he walked out. He walked out. Buddy Forbes, I love that man. He walked out because we would not quit goofing off. Now, as I've matured, I've gone and apologized. I feel really bad as I've matured. We may think our young people sometimes are goofing off, and they probably are. But we're passing on our faith to the next generation. You ever heard this said or seen it? These are the good old days. What will young people remember in 50 years about now that will be really outdated? Today's efforts are tomorrow's good memories. Will we pass on our faith to our younger ones? Take that with you today, and also take with you the fact that we all are important in this family. Older, middle, younger, we are a family and we all belong to each other. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And you may be here this morning and have something heavy on your heart. It may be that you're not right with God. And if Jesus comes back today, or if you die in some tragic accident, you are not ready to face your Creator. And if that's the case, let us help you. We can help you repent, believe, have your faith in Christ, confess, and put on Christ in baptism. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain, stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of the Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all.